Hi again, folks, and welcome back to NTI's Japan Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Ziv Nakajima again. Great to have you with us today. Thanks for tuning in. Before we get down to business, just a quick heads up on Odyssey Capital Group's Japan Boutique Hospitality Fund. So if you'll recall, we've had Dan Vovel, president and co-founder of Odyssey, who's based in Hong Kong, here on the podcast a couple of times already. First telling us about the fund, then about the progress that they've made a few months later as they've purchased some underpriced and underutilized resorts all over the country. So quite a few of our clients and, of course, many other investors have bought into the fund. For our customers specifically, the price was much lower to buy in, so just $50,000 as opposed to their standard $250,000, which is for investors who contact them directly and not via our referral. So again, they've gotten all the investors they need to on board and will in fact be closing registration in January next year. So that's about two and a half months from today. October 31st, 2019 is the date of this recording. So if any of you was on the fence about the fund, this is your last chance to jump in and buy into a fully hands-off investment that's managed on your behalf by very experienced professionals. And, which might just be the best part, you also get annual usage rights. So you can stay in one of the properties the fund owns. And folks, these are some seriously luxurious holiday resorts we're talking about. Just check out the website. We'll link to that in this episode's show notes. Completely free of charge every single year. So good returns, hassle-free management, which is perfect for beginning investors who just want to dip their toes in, and at a super affordable buy-in. So check out their website, contact them directly if you want. Just make sure that you say that you are referred by NTI so you can enjoy the discounted buy-in minimum and the annual usage rights, or just send us a message and we'll introduce you to the fund managers directly. Okay, so for today's episode, we're going back to our hotel, or rather ryokan, traditional Japanese inn, deal analysis. If you'll recall from the first two episodes we did on this property, we're looking at a 26-room resort near the ski slopes in Niigata prefectures. We'll link to the previous two episodes in the show notes as well, of course. And Niigata prefecture is one of Japan's most popular areas for winter sports. A beautiful Japanese style traditional property built in the 1980s, but in very good shape, gone through some renovations over the years, currently operating only during the winter months and not doing very well even during those times. We were first discussing the property itself, we then ran over the financials, and we decided to offer our investors the chance to pay for a research trip to the area to examine the property itself, speak to the owners, and also do some more macro-level research regarding competition, opportunities, risks, challenges in potentially turning the place around. So two of our clients picked up the gauntlet and they paid for Pacific Business KK, our partners and designated operators of the hotel, if we do take it over, to go there and dig more deeply into the place. And in return for footing that bill, they've got first right of access to the research materials, as well as first right of refusal on the investment itself. So in this episode, which is a recording of a call we had with one of those investors last week, as well as with Aymeric, who's one of the principals at PBKK and also the one in charge of this project, he went down there with his staff and he then presented us with a fantastically detailed report over the call. We obviously had a lot of questions and requests for clarifications as well. We did some brainstorming together on what could potentially be done with the place and how. So this is really the most interesting episode, in my opinion at least, related to this project. Have a listen, I think you'll enjoy it, and don't go away when we say goodbye on the call, because I'll be back right after that to let you know what our next steps are. So here it is, episode 3 of our hotel deal analysis. Enjoy, and I'll be back with you right after the recording ends.
I greatly appreciate your, I know it's a paid endeavor, but I greatly appreciate all the effort you put in to report together, so thanks for that.
Thank you very much. That's no problem. So, I will just skip the first part. I will go directly to the hotel description.
Yep.
So basically, it's a two-story building with 26 rooms. They have their own onsen. They have parking. They have very nice sitting areas, on kitchen and restaurants. So the building is quite good, actually. Even in the area, it's one of the best one, I would say. But the main problem they're having over there basically is the, so it would be two problems. So the first one would be the location where they are. So basically, they are like 10-15 minute drive to the station, to the main station. And there is no buses, there is no shuttle buses, there is nothing. So basically, you need a car to get there.
Right.
And basically, the competition around the station is huge. There are a lot of big complex hotels grabbing all the customers, basically.
Can I just ask one question about that? Because I was wondering from the report as well. So their proximity to the station is less attractive than the other spots, but I was under the impression that their proximity to the actual ski slopes is excellent. Is that right?
So that's right. That's the thing. So, but that's also a problem because they are just next to the ski slope. They're like 300 meters away from it. But there's also one ski slope just next to the station. And the both goes to the same place. So that's difficult to bring people over there when they can have the same things just next to the station, when they can have like izakayas at more attractions, basically. It's a more lively place.
But when you say next to the station, is there what? Is there a ski lift going to the same site? Or?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
I'm with you. So it's like another stop on the ski lift.
Exactly. So there's several entrance, from the bottom of the mountain, there's several places where you can get up, basically. And so there's one just next to the hotel, but there's also one just next to the station. So, yeah.
Right.
And then, just thinking about it, I'd imagine if I'm going for a holiday, you can correct me if I'm wrong, please. But I'd imagine that I probably would like to unpack first and go to the lodging area before going to ski. Or is that not a correct assumption? That people right after getting off the train or getting off the rail would go directly to the ski lifts?
That's correct. But people who come for a ski holiday basically would be spending, let's say, a week or two or 3 weeks. And then each and every day they'll be going up to the slopes. So if they can do that from right next to the station, as opposed to being driven 10-15 minutes to a more distant accommodation, we have to somehow differentiate that accommodation to make it worth the trip.
Okay, exactly. Yeah, I got it. Thank you, Ziv.
Yeah.
And then, so basically, there are also like several hotels just next, the same area, where the hotel is located. But basically, they are all owner managed, so it's been passed down from their fathers to the sons, basically, and they've been doing this for years. They have their own partnerships. They're all Japanese, of course.
Would I be correct in assuming that the other let's call it family properties around there are probably less able to cater to English speakers or anybody who doesn't speak Japanese?
So basically, in the report, you see I've broken down three main competitors in the exact same area. So those hotels are exactly in the, like 500 meters to each other. So exactly in the same area. And so you will see that you have three hotels like doing, according to the research, a bit better than... So basically, those three are also targeting kind of different customers. So new Western style beds, Western style breakfasts. They're targeting more and more foreigners. The website is in English. So basically, those people are targeting both foreigners and Japanese.
So that's probably why they're doing well.
Yeah, in the area, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the pricing is much higher. Higher than the competition. So they're doing okay. Actually, the hotel is almost exactly the same as the one we're looking at. Approximately the same number of rooms, even same layouts. They're just like, are really like 1 minute away from each other.
I'm seeing according to your report there, number two and number three actually seem to be lower priced. Is that correct?
Exactly.
Right.
So basically, the cars are approximately the same pricing.
Yes.
And then the number two and three are much cheaper.
Right.
But those two, the second two, are really, I would say, like targeting Japanese people, and they have really strong partnerships with schools, like companies, And basically, that's where they get the customers from. So those people receive like 20 people, 20 like employees coming all together for like 2 weeks, or like schools, as I say, like school trips, and they come there and stay there.
So like package deals and tours and so forth.
Exactly.
And Cup is the one that's actually in most direct competition as far as the clientele are concerned, because they're also marketing same price and to foreigners. Is that right?
Exactly.
Okay.
But on top of it, they also have partnerships. So all those three hotels have partnership. I mean, they've been doing this for a while, and same family, so they have the same contacts.
Okay.
So if a hotel doesn't have any partnerships, but they still capture 15% of the market, if I'm reading that correct, that seems to me like they're still doing pretty good without any partnerships. My misunderstanding?
They're doing pretty good, but the competition, I mean, as you see, like, it's only five hotels, so they're then five and six, and then it's like very small ones, and like almost abandoned.
I see.
So yes, if you look at it like this, yes, quite okay. But one more thing. So all those hotels are only open during the winter. They're not open during the summer.
None of those hotels are open in the summer, is what
you're
saying.
Yes, none of them, yes.
Interesting.
But then if you continue to the page, so 27, you can see that if you look at the market share, it's very, very at the bottom.
Right, and that's including the ones next to the station.
Exactly. And the one open next to the station are, however, open during the summer, but they also have like activities. They offer activities to their clients, like trips or like buggy experience or fishing experiences, and like things like that. Yeah.
And are those more hotel types, or are they also a yokan, like a traditional inn type?
So it's a mix, actually. So the biggest one are real hotel, I would say.
Yeah.
And then they have some like really like luxurious type, and they are also like more like ryokan type. And then so yes, that's the main, I would say, not problem, but the hotel in the same area. I mean, the direct competitors are really like, I mean, owner managed, and I think that's the only way you can really make profit.
If you just open during the winter,
if you keep going to the I think that's what they were trying to do to the financial analysis. So the owners were trying to do exactly the same thing, I think. Like, they wanted to retire, go to Japan, have a quiet life, I would say, and just manage their own hotel and live with that. But like basically what everyone is doing in the same area. But they didn't imagine it was going to be that difficult, I think. And the fact that they don't speak Japanese and they've never managed a hotel before, like, really makes things even more difficult. So if you look at page 31.
Yep.
You can see, so this is, so the year zero is the current state. So it's estimated because they told us the average occupancy is 30% over the winter. So they also close during the summer.
Yep.
So that's make it a 17% over the entire year. And so for sure we can improve the occupancy because basically they're only using booking.com. And that's it. 90% of the customer comes from booking.com.
Right. So no Facebook, no Instagram, no online ads anywhere else.
Yes, I mean, they have Facebook and Instagram, but it's like, I mean, handled by the owner, who is not so good at it, I would say. So it can be improved, but it's mostly they don't have any contact with travel agencies. They don't post in any Japanese websites. They don't use Rakuten, nothing, just booking.com. And they are like, maybe, if I check the direct competitors, some of them are using like over 20 different display platforms to advertise.
Right.
So this would be a quick fix to just do a mass advertising. And then you need to basically start to differentiate yourself a little bit, so improve the, I mean, differentiate, not really differentiate, but like put Western style beds in all the rooms and improve the overall appeal of the hotel. And this will increase the occupancy very, can double it, I would say, like very fast. But then at some point you will reach a ceiling because, I mean, at some point you cannot, I mean, just doing this won't make you beat the hotels next to the station.
Well, from what you've described so far, it sounds like definitely, like you said, a quick fix to improve during the winter would be more advertising, but could the potential be there to, like Paul was initially saying when we discussed, to potentially market the area as something that people can visit during the summer and spring as well?
That is possible. So that's why if you go back to page 31, that's what I was trying to show. So if you go, so my plan, I mean, I think that would be the best, would be to first increase the occupancy during the winter and then getting more and more reviews and more visibility over the internet and everywhere. And then starting from year 4 and 5, starting to also open during the summer. So there are a lot, actually, if I wrote down all the spots that you can and things that you can do during the winter. So during the summer, there are many things you can do, actually. It's a very beautiful area. So I think you can still get some customers during the summer. But then, yeah, doing this right away would be difficult because still you will have to pay some staff to take care of them for occupancy that would not be so high at the beginning.
Yep.
And so that's why I was planning, I mean, in the report I made it like this, like to only open during the summer starting from year 4.
Understood. And also everything we've discussed so far is talking about marketing to individual customers. We still haven't touched about potential corporate retreats, group like you were saying, like schools, company tours, that sort of thing is still an option, right? It's a different kind of advertising and marketing, but it can still be done.
Yes, exactly. That would be a mix. If to make it happen, you need to really do everything at once. Make your mass advertising and do some partnership, like from day one. And yes. I mean that would be a mix. You need to do both. That's for sure.
And we also need the other big expense. Will also be to renovate or refurnish a lot of the place. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah.
So I'm scrolling down to your analysis and recommendation section to page 39 and onwards.
Yes.
So you wrote 70% occupancy is required to start making a profit. I assume that's because we need to actually staff the place, not by owners. Yeah?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So basically, you need to, if all the hotel in the same area, I mean, there's, sorry, I want one more quick fix also, is that, so the owner are doing everything. So there are only two, it's like, they are about 50 years old couple, Australian couple, and they do everything. They do they do the advertising, they do the cleaning, and then do the cooking. So,
they're not paying themselves.
And they don't pay themselves, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So cooking, what I mean by cooking, is not real cooking. They just make like some eggs in the morning and, I mean, like pickles and stuff like that. And then during the evening, they ask the guests to bring their own food. And they ask them to microwave their own food, basically.
Well, that probably doesn't help with booking as well if people see on the website that there's no dinner, right?
Exactly. So that's what I was going to. It's like all the hotels in the same area has nice food.
Yep.
So that can help also.
Okay.
So yeah, you need very good occupancy to be able to cover the staff expenses. And if you can differentiate yourself and bring something new to the table, then you can also maybe increase the pricing, because next to the station, some prices are, I mean, the prices are a lot more than 12,000 a night. Some of them goes to 20,000, some of them, like, I think the average is around 15 to 17.
Yep.
So you can also increase prices if you bring, but you have to bring something unique, because, yeah.
Okay, so on your on the last page, page 41, I see where you get more creative, and you wrote about different kinds of venues and opportunities that can be added there. So restaurant, izakaya, karaoke bar, craft beer or sake bar, a more unique type of restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering, something that I haven't seen in Yokans usually, and I was always wondering if that would be an attraction. So, like, the properties in that area and many others do, they have an English website or they might have English-speaking staff, but the facilities themselves, I mean, the type of food that they serve and the size of the slippers that they give to the guests and everything is not really geared towards foreigners. It's traditional Japanese, but they have English access, right?
True. Not all of them. I mean, around the station, yes, they all have, I mean, most of them have English abilities. In the same area of the hotel, only the, this one is, they're trying to be English friendly, still not perfect, but they're trying to. All the other old old hotels managed for a long time by the same family as Japanese customers.
Right.
They're trying slowly to use other platforms like booking.com, etc., but you can see that, I mean, if you don't speak Japanese over there, you're in trouble.
So that might really be a good way to differentiate yourself. I mean, obviously, yes, have staff which Japanese staff or staff that speaks Japanese, but also aggressively target foreigner customers, but not in a hotel type scenario, but in a all everything covered kind of experience which a yokan can give, but to foreigners.
Definitely. Then yes, and as you say, the 41. So there's a room over there, like they are not using, and it's, I mean, because they only need to take care of the hotel, of course. But that room is gorgeous. I mean, they, like, you can see like two pictures on it. So you have like all Japanese, like barbecue. You can grill your fish, like. Samurai costume, there's a piano, there is a, I mean, it's not on a picture, but there are like huge speakers for karaoke. So this place used to be very entertaining, I would say, but there is just abandoned.
Well, if we're talking about company retreats and that sort of thing, that would be perfect, wouldn't it?
Definitely. Yeah. And also, even I would say that's why, if this is marketed properly, you can even attract like locals, you can attract like many people to get there, because there's nothing much in the same area. So,
oh, you mean just like as a nightlife venue kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Or even for the guests, I mean, even compared to the restaurant, this area is much better. I mean, just coming there, you can imagine all spending time together after the ski and having a good time in there could be awesome.
So for and guests, for guests of other resorts,
to increase the prices. Yeah.
You mean for guests of other resorts?
Even, why not? Yeah. I mean, there's nothing else over there apart from, I mean, all the hotels in the same area. I mean, they only have like a, you know, canteen type where they can just table and eat and that's it.
Yeah.
This could be like an entertaining place.
Right.
And even the entrance, you don't even have to get into the hotel to enter this place. There is a special entrance too. So it could be really advertised as a special izakaya place. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Is there anything else from the report that you want to highlight for us? Obviously, the shuttle bus you wrote to organize some form of transport from the station. That's a big, big, big thing, I think.
Yeah. That would be necessary. And then needs to... So basically, what they say also, they try to connect with travel agencies.
Yep.
But then, but what they said is that according to them, they are too small to interest travel agencies.
Right.
Not sure if it's the real reason or because they cannot speak Japanese.
I think also. That might be it, because 26 rooms, yeah, yeah, yeah. 26 rooms is definitely not too small for a group.
Exactly, exactly. So I think, yeah, because they were not able to approach those people, so yeah, that created a barrier. So this would help too.
And when you say improving the room facilities, what sort of work were you thinking about there?
So that would be to basically just make it Western type of rooms. So make like two single beds in each rooms that can be attached, so it becomes one double bed or separated if it's more than, I mean, it's only friends staying in there.
Mm.
The rooms are quite huge, actually. Some of them are goes like 20 square meters, like a small apartment.
Wow.
So you can do a lot of things with those, actually. So, but yeah, completely redecorate, Western style TV, like something comfortable with Western style beds.
And you met a local builder, carpenter, renovator when you were there as well. Was that correct?
Yes. So, but it went. I mean, not necessarily fast, but so basically we received the floor map from the owner. So those one has numbers on it. So those numbers are supposed to refer to maintenance issues. So basically the guy who came also went through all those issues and check if it has been fixed or not. But then what he said is that, okay, so I mean, he made a quick quick tour of the property, but then he said that to really go through the property and check each items one by one and make sure there's no problem with the construction or major problem, he needs to come back and make a proper research.
And did he give you a rough estimate about the furniture part at least?
Furniture parts? So, you mean to buy the furniture and everything? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I mean, well, is he not somebody who handles this sort of thing? Is he only handles structural?
It's more like construction.
Infrastructure related.
Yeah, infrastructure, yes, exactly.
Okay.
I have it.
So from his initial, just the quick look that he did have, did he point out any particular things that need to be attended to, or is it mainly furniture?
Not at all. He said that everything is totally fine from what he sees. Yeah. I mean, of course, that's what he explained too. He says that it's not a new building, so then it depends on what you want. And you can stay as it is, or you can spend all your money you want to just fix each problems, you know, like small, tiny issues.
Yeah.
Like,
Just repairs, yeah?
Yeah, small repairs. I mean, there's no limit also. If you want to fix everything, you can spend a lot of money, or it can also be used as it is.
Okay, well,
there's
assuming...
no major problem.
Assuming the structure can be used as it is, at least for now, do you, from your experience, know approximately what it would take to refurnish the rooms? Like, are we talking $1,000 per room, $2,000 per room?
So basically, I would say around... So that would depend on the size of the room, because depending on the number of beds you put in there.
Yeah.
But that would be... The smallest room would be around... 70,000 yen, so approximately $700, and to the biggest room around $1,200. That would be this range.
Okay, so we're talking maybe another worst case 10 million yen or so to bring the rooms up to speed. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay, that paints a pretty clear picture. What's your I mean, obviously, this is meant to be based more on analysis, but do you have a gut feeling about how feasible, and Paul, maybe you can comment on that too, how feasible or unfeasible it is to turn the place around?
I don't want to sound so pessimistic, but I mean, the hotel is great. I mean, the hotel is great. You can really do something with it in terms of the infrastructure, the location, I mean, how it looks, how it feels. The rooms are gorgeous. There's a lot of space. The hotel is great. But the problem, it would be like basically the area. I mean, even the entire area feels a little bit abandoned. Even like, so basically at the, it's only owner managed, so you can even see some abandoned hotels because yeah. when the owner like, stop working there, like they just leave, I guess, and then nothing, no one buys it back. And yeah, that's what I would say. Like, and if you go next to the station, is you can see it's popping. Like, many huge hotel is beautiful. The streets are beautiful, etc. But the direct area where the hotel is located, I mean, yes, I have the feeling it's dying. Basically, that's what I would say.
Okay, so the main challenge would be marketing, and not just marketing of the hotel, marketing of the entire village, let's call it.
Exactly.
Okay. Do you have any questions?
Just listening along, I'm just jotting some notes as we go, so I like how you're flowing it. Please just continue.
Okay.
So if we're going to do anything with this place, I'm just trying to summarize the main points, and Aymeric and Paul, please correct me if I'm wrong about anything. So our main challenges are A, drawing people away from the station and towards the village, and
exactly.
B, differentiating ourselves from the rest of the properties in the village, mainly, which is going to be the biggest competition, I'm guessing.
Exactly.
And maybe, unless I'm wrong, maybe the best way to do that would be to, as far as the Japanese clientele is concerned, to try and target the summer and spring months and to try and target more groups. So again, corporate retreats, team building efforts by companies, that sort of thing.
Yes.
And the other thing would be maybe to make it more attractive to foreigners. And that also ties into the marketing again.
Yes, exactly. So, yes, all those points are correct. We need to differentiate the property, and basic mass advertising would be enough to completely improve the occupancy, because now it's close to zero.
Yep.
Now, the biggest challenge, I would say, yes, as you said, is that how to make people not staying next to the station, but go like 15 minutes away from the station.
Yeah, so I'm guessing if they're mainly marked... Sorry, go ahead.
I didn't mean to overtake you. I'm sorry, I didn't get this point, Emmerich. Just to help me. Actually, in the same location as the cottages, correct? So it's the place not close to the station. It's farther out. How are they able to attract customers? What's their selling point? How do they compete against the hotels closer to the station?
So basically, so what I think what they've been doing is that the hotel was owned by the father, passed down to the son, so they still have the partnership they used to have.
Partnership.
But now what's became, I would say, new is that the son is trying to rebrand the hotel, and you can even if you check the website, you can see it's completely different feel. And they're trying to target foreigners. So that's how they can make it.
So that confirms his thinking. I mean, it's
exactly.
In the same direction.
Exactly.
Well, that's one area where I think...
shuttle service? Sorry, Ziv, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Yeah, the shuttle service, I'm actually interested in that. Do they have a shuttle service?
Unfortunately, no. So they don't have shuttle.
That's
no,
surprising.
They don't. Yeah. They don't. I'm not sure, even sure they have. I have to confirm. I don't think they have a parking either. But if you see on the interior of the hotel, yes, they all have the Western style beds. They were serving Western style type of breakfasts.
Do they do dinner as well?
They do dinner too, yeah.
They do, okay. Well, I guess marketing... sorry, go ahead.
Just to confirm some assumptions, Emmerich. Most people who visit places like... they do take mass transit, correct? They don't drive themselves to this location and have a big city mindset, but I'm not sure if maybe in Niigata, most people drive to their holiday resort. I'm not sure.
So there's still a bus. When there is like one every 1 per hour or twice per hour, depending on the time. So there's some of them still use the bus. What they do is like sometimes the owner go pick the people from the stations.
I see.
And then
lastly, there's still many people come from the train station. Okay.
That's yes, cool. Yes, yes.
And Japanese customers, a lot of them would be driving, wouldn't they?
Yes.
While we're talking, I'll have a quick look on the website and let you know if they're advertising anything like a shuttle bus service or drive from the station service or anything like that. Sorry, go ahead. I was just going to say, marketing to foreigners, I think, is something that we can definitely do better, right?
Definitely. We can, like...
I see. So what I'm wondering is, do they have foreign staff?
I'm not sure, but the sound can speak English.
I can see that they're trying to market the place during the summer as well, but like you were saying, Aymeric, at the moment they're not really succeeding, are they?
Exactly. Right now they're still closed during the summer.
Okay. And you're saying that their website, I mean, I can see that it has English, but I wouldn't really call it an English website.
Yeah, exactly. It's not really an English website, but what I would say is that so they use a lot of different, Western platforms, so like booking.com or Agoda, or they're using a lot of Facebook, Instagram, etc., compared to the other hotels who are only using strictly Japanese channels.
Right. And I'm not seeing, unless it's hidden somewhere deep in the site, I'm not seeing them advertise that they'll pick you up from the station anywhere. Even when you go to location, there's nothing like how to get there or anything of the sort.
Sure, that's...
So maybe it's upon, like, you actually have to call them and ask if they can pick you up, but they're not actually saying that they will. You can use the special request box or contact the property directly. But that's it. It doesn't actually say anything about we will pick you up or anything like that.
Yeah, I can research. I can call them also to find out.
No, that's okay. I mean, whatever they're doing online is how we're going to be doing it. So I'm just interested in knowing whether they do advertise that, and it looks like they're not.
The ski resort itself, Aymeric, is it English or I'd say foreigner friendly? If I don't speak any Japanese, would I be able to purchase a ticket and attend the ski resort? How what's that experience like?
Actually, it's still possible, but it's a little bit of a challenge, I would say. This is Japan in general. The ski resorts, I would say staff, that's the issue. I mean, finding staff over there is a bit difficult too. So most of the people over there only speak Japanese. That's why most of the foreigners in Japan, they use like a package tour. So they have everything. They buy this online and they receive their ticket, lift ticket, bus ticket. So they just go to the station and the bus take them to the hotel, and then they have everything already. And they just go directly on ski slopes, yeah.
I'll quickly look again while we're talking. There's a good website, Powder Hounds is a good website that actually covers Japan ski resorts, and that'll tell us if those particular slopes are foreigner friendly or not. So keep going, I'll tell you in a minute.
Okay. One more thing I wanted to point out. So the area, when it comes to ski, is quite good. The ski resort over there is one of the best one in the area. I think it's like top five or something like that. Wow. And they also have summer skiing, which means like, you know, plastic rub on the slopes, and then you can just ski on those too. And not many has this option either. So this is, I mean, also if you check the macro research, you can see that the area is getting better every year. They have more and more customers coming there. And so the slope and the area is quite good when it comes to skiing.
So, which is the nearest one, says that nobody speaks much English there, but it looks like for some people that's actually a refreshing change. They're saying it's not glitzy and it's not commercialized, it's just a very good ski resort. Mm-hmm. They gave it 3.5 stars out of 5, and they're saying mellow slope, so experienced riders will need to head into the side country, and I think the ski lift from there actually does go into some of the more challenging slopes. Not super attractive for snowboarders, but the main point is there's not much English spoken there, and it's not overly expensive or overly glitzy.
Exactly. So that is true. Like I said, it depends on the people. That's true. Like some customer really wants to get the Japanese feel of the Japanese culture. Like only stay with Japanese, eating Japanese food, and staying in the Japanese like tatami room type during the during the ski experience. However, at the same time, it's shutting the door for many people too, who are not able to get there because they don't speak Japanese. So it's a balance you need to find the solution to. Yeah.
And I guess just look, and doesn't actually say, or at least not in English, on their website. You mentioned that they have a Western breakfast, but I'm wondering if the dinner is traditional Japanese, or do people have options if they're not into fish or that sort of thing?
I need to confirm, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be Japanese.
Japanese tradition, right? So just giving people the option, as opposed to the typical ryokan affair, which is a set course, just giving people the option to choose more Western, less Japanese, or you know, a selection of mains or anything like that. I think that's not being done, at least not with our biggest competitor. Okay, that's I don't think I've got any further immediate questions.
But if you have any question even later on, feel free to send like emails or etc. I can answer you. That would be no problem.
Okay, that's good. Anything else from either of you guys?
Not that I can think of.
It's been really helpful, Emmerich. I appreciate you patiently answering all questions.
No problem. That was a pleasure.
All right. Thanks very much for that, guys.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. You're welcome.
So there you go. Fantastic analysis from Pacific Business KK's team there. Really valid points raised by and questions asked by our savvy investor, and a clear path forward. Now, the next step from his perspective, as well as ours, now that we know that there are not too many serious renovations or repairs required, and now that he knows approximately the price to purchase and refurnish and redesign the rooms, really the last thing we need to evaluate, and this is what PBKK's team is working on now, are the annual costs. So as Emmerich was saying, it'll most likely take 4 to 5 years to turn the place around. And during that period, there will need to be some serious advertising and mass marketing involved, as well as some very significant staffing requirements. So reliable, hardworking people that'll be able to cater to both local and foreign guests, a good cook, or even a fully fledged chef, depending on what we're going to do with the restaurant and the dining, drinking, hospitality area, and some shuttle bus or pickup and drop-off services implemented as well. So it now becomes crucial to evaluate these costs as accurately as possible, for our investor to understand the capital that he'll need to deploy, not just for the purchase itself, but also in the years leading up to that potential profitability that we think can be achieved there. So we'll keep you posted on our progress there, of course. Hopefully we'll have all of that data and make a decision over the next couple of weeks. Do go back and listen to those first two episodes. We'll put them in the show notes again for you. And don't forget to check out Odyssey's progress if you're thinking you may want to get in there before they close registrations in a couple of months' time. As usual, we'd really appreciate it if you could share this episode and the podcast with your own networks, either via a link to wherever you tuned in from, or just a screenshot if it's on Instagram or anywhere which doesn't allow links. We welcome any of your comments, your questions that you may have, as usual, in the comments section of wherever you may have found this episode. And we would be eternally grateful if you could take a moment of your time and leave us a review, or at least a star rating, good or bad. Let us know what you really think on the iTunes Store, Spotify, or wherever else you might have streamed or downloaded this from. Your reviews and your ratings really help us reach more and more people, which is definitely a win-win scenario for everyone involved. Hope to have you with us again next time, and until then, from all of us here at NTI, we wish you, as always, happy investing.